Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Genesis chapter 4 from verse 3. The Bible says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Someone say, "His countenance fell." "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Put your hands together for the word of God. For the word of God. For the word of God. Hallelujah. "Why is thy countenance fallen?" Hey. Now, countenance is the way a person views or perceives you in their heart. So when the Bible talks about, when God was asking Cain, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" it's talking about how you see another person in your heart. Do you understand? When you look at me and you are talking to me, you say, "Oh, Pastor." And I say, "How are you?" "Oh, Pastor Siapil. Hi, Pastor, everything is going well." But when you get home, the real you now comes out. "Hey, what's Pastor? Oh, Pastor, oh, wabora. Are you listening to me?" I mean, it's a very, very silly example, but we've got a lot of people who are like that, who are double-faced. When they are with you, they are all smiles. But the minute they depart from you, they're your enemies. Do you understand? So, when God said to Cain, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" God had noticed that Cain's attitude towards God had changed. Now, when you read the verses above, you will see that Cain and his brother Abel had decided to put together an offering to give to their God. Now, Cain was very excited. Cain was a farmer. He used to, you know, grow vegetables and fruits. And his brother Abel had sheep. And so Cain took off the vegetables that he had grown. I'm sure he was very happy and excited, and came to present them before God. Abel also did the same and came to present them before God, his sheep. When God came, God chose Abel's offering. And that thing did something in Cain's heart. Why didn't God choose mine? Why did he choose Abel's offering? From that day, his attitude towards God changed. And God noticed, and God said, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" God was asking you, "Why has your attitude changed towards me?" Are you listening to me, somebody? Many people come to church excited. They come to church with the spirit to worship God, with the spirit to love God. But somewhere down the line, an event takes place that causes us to change how we see our God. And today I've come to encourage somebody that I beg you in Jesus' name, never allow your attitude to change towards God. One sister one day sent me a text and said, "Pastor, I'm very angry with God." I said, "Sister, calm down, calm down. You're angry with who?" She said, "I'm angry with God." I said to her, "It's not good for you to be angry with God. Being angry with God hurts you more than it hurts God. You need him. Humble yourself before the Almighty God. So many people have sought a lot of issues that caused their countenance to fall. That was the last time Cain brought an offering to God. His attitude completely changed. Are you still with me? Come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 31. Genesis, chapter 31. We are reading from verse 1. Genesis, chapter 31. We are reading from verse 1. Genesis 31, reading from verse 1 to verse 5. If you are there, can I hear an amen? The Bible says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, 'Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's had he gotten all this glory.' And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, 'Return unto the land of thy fathers and unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee.' And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, 'I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my fathers had been with me.'" Hallelujah. So here Jacob also noticed that his father-in-law, the attitude of his father-in-law towards him had changed, because he was living with his father-in-law with his two wives. And his brothers-in-law, they became angry that Jacob was becoming rich. And they were saying, "This guy is becoming rich through our father." And I'm sure that as Laban was hearing these voices, he also started believing that this guy is becoming rich because of me. And the Bible says his countenance was not towards Jacob as it was before. In other words, his attitude had changed towards Jacob. Are you listening to me? So sometimes our attitude changes towards God, and sometimes our attitude towards man changes. Are you listening to me, somebody? And it's very dangerous, especially people who are above you, your spiritual parents, your God, your shepherds above you. It's very dangerous to change your attitude towards them, because these people are very important to you. These people help your walk with God. They are shepherds over your soul. They're ensuring that you will end up in heaven. Are you listening to me? So when your attitude changes towards these people, sometimes it hurts you more than it hurts them. Hallelujah. Am I talking to us, to somebody? All right, I'm jumping a lot of my notes here because I don't want you to sit long in the sun. So today, for a very short time, I want to talk on the danger of a fallen countenance. The danger of a fallen countenance. Now, if I can simplify this language, when God was saying to Cain, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" God is basically asking him, "Why are you offended?" Ask your neighbor, say, "Why are you offended?" Hey, you know, church members, they're the most easily offended people in this world. No one gets offended faster than a church member. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not good for us to be offended, okay? Yes, we will be offended. Yes, we will hurt each other. But we must easily and quickly heal and continue to move forward. In a family, it's very easy to be hurt. If you are here and you have sisters and brothers and you come from a family, I'm sure, I mean, we've only about 5 or 6 days or 7 days into November. I'm sure that this month already your family member has hurt you or offended you already. True or not true? But have you gone away from home and said, no, I'm no longer part of the Mbanjwa family. I'm no longer part of the Nzimande family. It's your family. You get offended, you are hurt, but you work it out and you move on. Hallelujah. So also in the house of God, when you get hurt, sometimes me, the pastor, I can be the one who hurts you. Sometimes in my preaching, unawares, I may say something that when you hear, you say, ah, how can pastor say something like that? And you are angry and you stop coming to church. And I don't even know that I've hurt you. One day, a pastor was invited to preach in the church, in a certain church. And he was telling a story. And in his story, someone was whistling in his story. So he started whistling as he was telling his story. After the service, the pastor that had invited him, his countenance had fallen. And he was confused. What's wrong? Only to find out that he didn't know that whistling was wrong in that church, even though he was explaining a story. So people, you know, you can say something, do something without knowing. And before you know it, you have hurt somebody. But we're in the house of God. And if you keep getting offended and you keep allowing yourself to be offended, do you understand? Your growth in Christ will stop. Let me give you some of the dangers. I've got 6 of them. I hope that I will finish them very fast. Number 1, a fallen countenance opens the door to the manifestation of the sins that dwells in your body. A fallen countenance opens the door to the manifestation of the sins that live in your body. Hallelujah. Quickly come to Genesis chapter 4 again. Are you there? The Bible says, I'm struggling to see my notes here. The sun is not my friend today. The Bible says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Hallelujah. So God said to Cain, if you keep being offended, sin is waiting for the opportunity to manifest itself. Many people who are offended by God or who are offended at church end up sinning. I knew I won't hear an amen. Immediately after Cain was offended, he killed his brother. So offense opens the door. Now in Romans chapter 7, Paul explains to us that sin lives in our body. Do you understand? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said that he keeps his body under subjection. lest after he has preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. He said that because he knew that if I don't suppress my body, if I don't control my body, the sin that is living in me is waiting for the chance to manifest. So God says that when you allow your heart to be offended and you dwell in the offense, you are opening the door for that sin that is living in you to have manifestation in your life. So it's not good for you. Yes, we all get offended, but you must heal as soon as possible. It's not good for you to stay in your offense. Even in any relationship, in marriage, in your home, in your family, between your friends, don't dwell in the offense. Let it go. If you don't let it go, it will manifest something bad through you. Haven't you noticed when you are angry with someone, thoughts come like, "Eish, natanga shayiswa imoto." Can you imagine you thinking like that? So yeah, you become a witch now. You become a witch because you are angry. So if you allow that thing to keep having life in you and you keep feeding it, sooner or later you will do something you mustn't do. I've had people in relationships, couples, they'll say things like, "He cheated on me, so I'm also cheating on him." Eh, yabon, utomin. You are cheating. I'm also going to show you that I can cheat. Sure. Media, you must help me. You see this? It's controlling me. I'm like a dog. I can only go. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. God doesn't become angry with you if you become angry. Anger is a normal emotion. But you must heal from it. You can't be angry forever. Learn to control. If you are angry, you see, my wife and I, when we got married, even before we got married, we made an agreement. And we said, no matter what, we must talk. If I'm doing something I don't like, you don't like, tell me. Because I'll keep doing it. Because in a relationship, there are some people, they are hurt. And you can see that their countenance has fallen. Then you go and say, "Is everything okay?" They say, "Everything is fine." But you can see that, no, it's not fine. So rather than to harbor those feelings, rather go and talk. And say, "Look, what you are doing, I don't like." And most of the time, the people are going to say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that I was hurting you. I'm so sorry." Next time, they will not. Hallelujah. So the first danger of offense is that it opens a door for sin. I've seen a lot of people, you know, I've been a pastor for between 4 to 6 years now. And before that, I have been shepherding people for many years, plus minus 10 years or so. And looking back, anyone who leaves the church because they are offended, they don't end up in a good place. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So make sure that you deal with the hurt and kill it as fast as possible. Because if you don't, it opens the door to sin. Number two. A fallen countenance triggers the mischief of the heart. A fallen countenance triggers the mischief of the heart. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's read from verse 8. Are you there? The Bible says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Hallelujah. So, when you allow yourself to be offended, you know, the Bible tells us that the heart is very wicked. Do you understand? It's very, very wicked. So, when you allow yourself to be offended, or for your countenance to fall, or your attitude to change towards God, or your attitude to change towards servants of God that He has sent to you, or people that are around your life, it triggers the mischief that is hidden in your heart. Do you understand? All of us have some kind of mischief that is hidden in our hearts because of the fallen nature that because of sin. So as a result, sometimes when you are offended, you end up doing the mischief that is in your heart. I'll give you an example. One of David's sons, called Absalom, his sister was raped by his half-brother. Are you understanding? Now, Absalom was very hurt. Understandably so. He was very hurt by what had happened to her younger sister. And it was worse because this was done by his half-brother. And Absalom didn't allow himself to heal from that event. Even the lady who was hurt, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us that she went and did something funny. But the guy who wasn't even, you know, involved, decided to become so hurt that he planned for his brother for 2 years. And after 2 years, he made a feast and called all his brothers. And he knew his plan was to kill his brother. And eventually he killed his brother. But even after killing his brother, the mischief of the heart was now unleashed. So he was even angry that his father didn't take any steps against his brother. And he did the most unthinkable thing. He turned against his father. His father ran away from his own son. And then he took his father's concubines, put them on the roof of the house, and slept with the father's concubines while everybody could see. Someone say, the mischief of the heart. Hey! If you keep allowing the offense to have place in your heart and you keep feeding it, the mischief of your heart, you can end up doing something that you yourself will be amazed. When we were growing up in Pietermaritzburg, we had a neighbor, and this neighbor, he had some sons. So this guy was close to my father. Every time there was a soccer match, at halftime, we would hear, "Marke! Marke!" And the guy would be calling my father, and then they would talk about the game. And then when the halftime ends, they would go back and watch. And then after the game ends, "Marke!" Then they have to now talk about the second half. One day, this guy's son was arrested, and I don't know for what reason. And one of the things that I heard that young man did is he took, you know, electric cables and formed a whip. And I heard that he whipped his father. His own father, flesh and blood. Someone said, the mischief of the heart. That's why Cain killed his brother. It was because of the offense. That even the mischief that was hidden in his heart began to be manifested. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Number, what are we on? Number three. A fallen countenance causes you to lose important relationships. A fallen countenance causes you to lose very important relationships. Cain lost the most important relationship. He lost his relationship with God. You know, I'm willing to lose every relationship in my life, but I can't risk losing my relationship with God. You know, about 2 years ago, I made a decision to leave my job. And I was talking to somebody, and the person said to me, you know, making such a decision, you are endangering your marriage. You are endangering your marriage. I listened to what I'm saying. And when that person said that, it made me think deeply. And I made a decision that this decision I'm making is because of God. If my wife leaves me, let it be. My relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. And I cannot risk. You see, in this life, you could lose everything. You could become a zero. But if you have God, you can still rise again. But you see, if you don't have God, you are in serious troubles. And you are in serious problems. I've known people who are billionaires. Billion, not million. B. They lost their billions. One of my friends, he became a billionaire. And he was buying a house somewhere. And that house was worth 15 million rands. And he told me, do you know who I'm buying this house from? I said, I don't know. He said, I'm buying it from the owner of Nissan South Africa. And I said, why is he selling his house? Apparently, this guy was building a mall and the mall fell. And it fell on people and people died. And they were suing him and he lost all his money like that. So he was selling. In one day, all the money gone. I'd rather have nothing but have God than have everything and I don't have God. So you must be careful that your attitude, sometimes I offend you, a mere man, I offend you. And then what I have done to you affects your relationship with God. You are not serious. Why, if I am the one offending you, why is it affecting your relationship with God? So you must protect your relationship with God above everything in this life. Are you listening to me? Above everything. I mean, think about God, Morunwa. Took a 75-year-old and called him. Now when he was about 99, he said, next year by this time you'll have a child. 99. The wife was 90 years old. Where have you seen a 90-year-old woman being pregnant, carrying a child for 9 months and giving birth? That even when she heard God say, next year by this time your wife will, she said, fuck, who me? She couldn't contain the laughter. And God asked her, why are you laughing? So she couldn't say God, she couldn't face God. She said, no, I didn't laugh. I'm sorry, I didn't laugh. Why would you want to risk that relationship? Someone who can bless you at any moment of your life. At any moment. When everybody has turned against you. When everyone has given up on you. When everyone has forgotten you. God can take you from nothing and make you something. Don't endanger that relationship. It's an important relationship. You can't lose that relationship. You can't. So whatever it is that anyone has done, just forgive so that your relationship with God is okay. I'm tired. the church, they disappear. And I say, what's wrong? Brother so-and-so said. How? Sister so-and-so said. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. This thing is bigger than brother so-and-so. It's between you and your God. I said, it's between you and your God. Hallelujah. I mean, Cain killed his brother over vegetables. Vegetable. And God said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. So if he found a sheep and killed it, God would have been happy with him. But vegetable caused him to kill his brother and caused him to lose his relationship with God. Some little offense. Hallelujah. Say in the name of Jesus, from today, I will not risk ending my relationship with God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Let me give you the last one for today. How many have I given you? Okay, let me finish off. Number four. A fallen countenance causes you to reject sound advice. A fallen countenance causes you to reject sound advice. The same Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God said to Cain, Mr. Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Isn't that good advice? God is showing him the way out. Okay, I don't like your vegetables, but find something I like and you'll be accepted just like I accepted your brother. But his anger caused him to reject that advice. Many people, when they have been hurt, they stop listening to good advice. Be careful when you stop listening to good advice. Don't be so drunk with your anger, with your offense, with your hurt, that you stop listening to good advice. Are you listening to me, somebody? Yeah. A wise man loves knowledge. A wise man loves to be corrected. But a fool is angry when they are corrected. And sometimes, especially in relationships, sometimes the one who is angry is the one, when you actually hear the matter properly, you find that the one who's hurt has been triggering the problem. That's why people don't like pastors. They like prophets better. The reason why your relationship is because 5 years ago, somebody went to... nobody went. It's your anger that is ruining your relationship. I'm not going to try and lie to you and try to become some super spiritual person. Fix your anger and your relationship will be nice. Some of you are moody. Out of the blue, you are waking up in the morning, Ugwatil. We just woke up, we are already angry. You are the one killing your own relationship. Choose to be happy. Your amens are not so good. Many times when people come to me with their problems, you know, I often side with them because I'm hearing one side. But sometimes when I hear both sides, I say, actually, the one who brought the problem to me may be the cause of the whole problem. But because they are so drunk with anger, even if I try to advise, they can't hear anything I'm saying. Don't allow the anger or the hurt or anything that has happened to you be so loud that you can no longer hear direction. You can no longer hear counsel. You are killing yourself. You are destroying yourself. A lot of relationships can be mended, But many people, their drunkenness of their anger has drowned out any type of advice or good counsel. You know, when I become angry, I need time to cool down. I never make a decision while I'm angry. Because I've noticed that if I make decisions while I'm angry, most of the time I make bad decisions. So I allow myself to cool down. After I have cooled down, now my mind can think correctly. Now I can see all the options available to me. Then I can make the good decision. But many people, especially women, I'm sorry. When something happens, hey, they want to act now. No, calm down. Calm down first, okay? Tell a neighbor, say, calm down. Yeah. After coming down, after now you are yourself, then now you can decide what you are going to do. Some of us have lost important relationships because you acted right there and then. Hallelujah. So even in church, many people, they can leave the church now. Just calm down. If you have really been hurt, come to the pastor. Pastor, this has happened. And I'm really not okay with what has happened. Most of the time, we don't know that we have done anything. And the way that my wife and I deal with the thing, we will call the person who's offended you. Because we don't want, if we don't call the person, it's going to be rumors. Rumors. So we call the offender and we call the offendee. Let's solve it now and end it. And we move forward. But many people don't want to confront. They just keep and just be feeding that anger. When you see a person, when we are saying, he na man dale, what's the song? We are dancing, we are happy. Then you in your heart are saying, Libel. That time we are not there. We are saying, in a man's land. You are not even worshiping God. You are looking at how people are dancing. You are looking at hairstyles. You are looking at how people are. Ah! You are lost, my brother. You are lost, my sister. We are here for Jesus. Time. I'm preaching, sister. Number 5. A fallen countenance triggers bad manners. Or a bad attitude. Or should I say, offense triggers bad manners or a bad attitude. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 9, after Cain has killed his brother, God comes to him and he says to him, "Where is your brother Abel?" And listen to the attitude. Cain says, basically, he says, "Why are you asking me? Am I my brother's keeper?" Look at how he's talking to God. With an attitude. "Am I my brother's keeper?" This is how normally I see when someone has been offended in church. When I see the attitude now has become foul, stinky, I realize that this person has been offended and the offense has been, the person has been feeding it to the point that he or she can't even respect anymore. When they are texting you, instead of saying, "Hi, Pastor," they say, they just get into it. They don't even to greet first. Just straight to the point. First, when you ask somebody a question, they'll give you a nice long answer. Now they'll just say no. Yes. The attitude now has become the manners, they've forgotten them. They've forgotten that they are talking to a servant of God. They have forgotten that they are in the house of God. If you are not careful, they can even smack you if you are not careful. If Cain can say to God, I'm not my brother's keeper. Knowing that God is omniscient, all-knowing, he's now lying to God direct. I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? But he knew, he killed him. Be careful when your attitude becomes foul, stinky. It's a sign that you have been offended or hurt and you are feeding it. Tell anybody, say, you are feeding it. Hallelujah. One day I sent somebody a text and I said, my daughter, how are you? And the response, I felt it, that don't call me your daughter anymore. I felt, she didn't say that, but I felt that I could hear that something is up here. And the person left the church. I've never seen them since. Until today, I don't know what happened. Maybe I offended them. I'm not aware. Because most of these people, when they get hurt or offended, they keep it in. They just feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it till it becomes, they become ugly spiritually. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. You know, there are people who are not happy in their marriages because there are people who cannot forgive. Do you understand? Sometimes, whatever has happened to you, the feeling you are feeling is warranted, is genuine, is understandable. But if you don't allow yourself to heal, you see, in a relationship, you must choose. Either you stay or you go. Are you understanding me? But if you choose to stay, be happy. The amens have come down. Because it's your choice to stay. Whose choice is it? It's yours. So be happy. Some people are still paying from the sins of 1990. You're still paying. Someone doesn't want to let go of the offense, doesn't want to let go of the hurt. They're still making you pay. Or you are still making them pay. I don't know who's the guilty party between you or the other person. Both. Someone is saying both. But choose. Choose. You see, happiness is a choice. Nobody can make you happy. You make yourself happy. Make yourself happy. So choose. Okay? I feel like I must stay here, but because of time, let me just finish off my message. The last point for today. A fallen countenance causes a person to become a fugitive in this earth. A fugitive or a vagabond. The Bible uses the word vagabond. A fallen countenance causes you to become a fugitive or a vagabond in the earth. Vagabond means that you are moving in this life aimlessly. You have no purpose. You have no reason for living. You are just wandering. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, after Cain became offended by God, after killing his brother and everything, The Bible says that he became a vagabond on the earth. Hallelujah. In other words, he started roaming the earth aimlessly. No purpose, no goal, no vision. You just wake up and go back to sleep. You have there's nothing driving you anymore. Many people who get offended end up becoming vagabonds. In fact, you see how many churches are in Namapias? A lot of us, our churches are not growing. A lot of us, we are just exchanging church members. You're offended here, you go there. You're offended there, you go there. You're offended there, you go. We are just exchanging. Instead of us going to the lost, winning the lost to Christ, we are exchanging people who already won to Christ. We are just swapping because of people who are hurt. And they are just aimlessly going from church to church. Aimlessly. Even when they get to the church, they don't become useful. They don't become rooted in the house of the Lord. They have become vagabonds on the earth, moving from house to house, house to house. When they get to one church, hey, this church, they speak too much English. Hey, this church, they speak too much Zulu. Hey, this church, they speak too much Zulu. What will make you happy? It's your offense that you are not dealing with. You are now on earth without a purpose. You are on earth without a goal. You are on earth without a vision. Hallelujah. So never allow your countenance to fall. Don't allow yourself to be offended, so that you continue to be useful to God. So that God can use you. Am I talking to somebody? I don't want to be, you know, I want my life to be worth something. Paul says that, you know, the grace that we have been given, it must not be in vain. The Lord Jesus came, walked on the earth. He didn't have to. Think about a God transforming himself to a human being. Being born by his own creation. His own creation is burning him, if it's an English word. He becomes a baby. He walks on the earth. When he's 30, he starts, you know, doing miracles and everything. People hate him. People, you know, they don't want anything. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own knew him not. The Bible says he was rejected by his own. The people that he came to save put him on the cross and killed him. The grace that has been given you must not be in vain. Make sure that everything that Jesus went through for you, make sure that you do something with it. Do something. Tell your neighbor, say, do something. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, because of time, I couldn't go deeply into this message. But I hope that you get the gist of what I'm trying to say to you. When you allow yourself to be hurt, especially in the house of God, don't allow those hurts to linger and cause you to be bitter and turn you away from your spiritual parents and even turn you away from your God. Are you listening to me, somebody? Yeah. Heal. Heal. Choose to heal. Choose to be happy. I like what Jesus said. When he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Let's rather be like Jesus. Someone has hurt you. They don't know what they are doing. Because what we are doing here is bigger than any of us. We are here to serve a mighty God. We are here to worship a mighty God. Put your hands together, the King of Kings, and let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.